So looking at 2 Kings in chapter 4 and verse 8, I'm going to read down to 17. And it fell on that day that Elijah passed to Shunem. And there was a great woman. Say great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in hither to eat bread. And she said to her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passed by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he comes to us that he shall turn thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all of this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered and said, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi said, verily, she has no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, he stood in the door, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto my handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season. And Elisha had said unto her, according to the time in life. You can be seated. Thank you for standing for the word of God this morning, or this evening. So let me just recap what has happened in scripture here tonight. So Elisha is a prophet of God. He is one of God's prophets. He walks around the country and he shares God's word to his people. And he continues to pass through this town called Shunem. And as he passes through, there is a woman that recognizes that he is some type of important person. An important man, a holy man, she tells her husband, that this holy man is passing through. And so they begin to reach out to Elisha, and they say, Elisha, come eat dinner with us. Pretty much she just saw a need as he was passing through. He probably needed somebody to feed him. And so she invited him in to eat dinner with them. And then it became so frequent that she decided that, you know what, he's getting older and he probably needs a place where he can actually just stay and rest before he continues on his journey home. And so the Shunammite woman, she talks to her husband and she says, husband, I would really like to set this room over here and set it up for Elisha so that when he comes into our house, he can just have a sleepover and spend the night. He's got his own room. And so they made this room for Elisha, and they put it in a bed, and they put it in a table, and they put it in a lampstick so that he could study and read the scriptures, and so that he could have a quiet little place just to rest as he's weary and traveling around. Okay? And so this woman has done all of these great things for Elisha. And so Elisha, this man of God, he wants to repay her. Right? She has done nice and good for him, and so he wants to do something nice for her. And so he goes and he calls his servant and he says, get the Shunammite woman. I want to do something nice for her. So she comes and he says to her, what can I do for you? Would you like me to introduce you to the king? Or maybe you would like me to introduce you to one of the chief council members. You know, Elisha recognized that this woman was a great woman. The scripture calls her a great woman. This woman was a woman that probably did have wealth. This was a woman that had prestige in her community. This was a woman that was just well known because of her kind spirit and her good heart. And so Elisha said, listen, I can really make you known. I can introduce you to the king. Would anybody like to be introduced to a king? How about a prince or a princess, right? Or how about a famous basketball player or a famous football player or a famous singer, right? We went to the Lauren Daigle concert a couple weeks ago, and I think that it, had we been able to meet Lauren Daigle, it would have just completely made the day, right? But we still sang with her. We was in the same room, right? But he said to this woman, I can have you meet the king or the councilwoman. And the woman said, I dwell among my own people. And what that means is she pretty much said, no, thank you. I'm content right where I live. I'm content right where I'm at. I'm content with the people that surround me today. I'm content with my husband. I'm content with my home. I have no needs. This woman looked at Elisha, a man that performs miracles. Miracles. When Elisha stepped into power, he took the mantle of Elijah and he smote the Jordan River, and immediately the Jordan River had parted in front of him. This is within minutes of taking over of his predecessor. So here, this is a man of God who can perform miracles. And the woman says, I am content. I'm content right where I'm at. I'm happy right where I'm at. Do you know what the word content means? Content means that you're satisfied. It means that you're pleased, that you don't need anything right where you are. It means when you're in a state of contentment, it means that you're in a state of peace. And so this woman, she had a good home. She had a good family. She had a good life. She had a good house. She enjoyed her neighbors and those around her. And so she said, I'm content. And even while she was content, she was doing good. She was doing good to those around her as she saw the need of Elisha and she offered food. She saw the need of Elisha and she offered room. But this is what I love. Bear with me. Elisha said, okay, you may not have anything that you think you need, but God's got a gift for you. You may think that you're content. You may think that you're living a life with all of your needs met, but can I tell you tonight that God's got a gift for you, something that maybe you didn't even know you needed, a promise and a gift that only he can give you? And Elisha said to this woman that you're going to bear a son. About this time, 9 months, this season next year, you will hold a child in your arms. Can I just explain to you that the woman didn't ask for this child, but she was barren. She had no other children. And in the times of the Old Testament, if you were a barren woman, then it was a disgrace. It was like God looked down on you because you weren't able to have children. But this woman, she could have asked Elisha for that, but she didn't. She said she was happy right where she was at. But God had a promise for her future that she didn't even know she could ask, that she didn't even know what God had in store for her. And so Elisha said, I'm going to give you a son. And what this promise meant to her was that there was going to be a future for her family. You see, it says that the scripture that her husband was an old man. And so then when her husband passed away, she would have no one to inherit their home, no one to inherit their business or their farm or their work, because she had no future because she had no son. But Elisha gave her a gift. God gave her a gift through the prophet of Elijah, and that was the hope of a future. And let me explain something to you. This was a free gift. Yeah, she was out doing good things, but she did not earn this gift. This gift was free. Why? Because God loves her so much that he just wanted to do something good for her. It was a free gift because God loved her so much that even though she thought She was content. God knew that he had even better plans in store for her. I don't think you guys are grasping this like I've been eating it for the last 5 days. This gift was just for her. Elisha didn't say, I'm going to give you and your husband a child. Of course, that's how it works, right? But that's not what Elisha said. Elisha said, I'm going to give you a son. This gift of a son was just for her. It was directly for her heart. It was directly for her purpose. It was for her own joy, for her to cherish and to love. This gift was one that she didn't ask for. You know, when you read the scriptures, and I love this part because I think it just speaks so much. When you read the scriptures, there are women throughout the Old Testament who pled, begged at the feet of God to get to have a child. I think of Hannah immediately. Hannah was in the back of the temple weeping so much that the priest thought that she was drunk because she couldn't contain her sorrow because she had not had a son. Right? And God granted her Samuel. I think of Rachel. It says that Rachel envied after her sister because Leah had all sorts of babies. And even though Rachel was more pretty, we all know Rachel was way prettier than Leah. Rachel envied after Leah because Leah was the one that had children. But man, this Shunammite woman, she didn't ask for a baby. She didn't ask for a son. But God knew that if he gave her one, it would provide a blessing to her. God knew that if he gave her this promise, it would give her a future and it would give her hope. But I need you to understand this. She didn't know that she had this promise of hope until she heard the promise. She didn't even know that she needed a son until Elisha spoke it into her ears. She was fine carrying about her life as it was, getting up each day, going about her business, carrying on, getting up, doing her stuff, okay, like you guys, getting up, going to school, coming home, doing your sporting events, playing with your brothers or your sisters, eating dinner, doing homework, and then going to bed. Day in, day out routine. But once she heard that God had more in store for her, man, did she grab a hold of that promise. Once she found out that God had more in store for life than just the mundane routine of life, man, she grabbed a hold of it. And she found a new hope that she didn't have before. You see, she was walking around without hope before this promise entered into her life. Yes, she was content and didn't think she needed anything, but she also didn't have hope in her future. But once she heard the word and the promise of God in her life, man, hope was restored. Hope was brought to her heart, and she grabbed a hold of that promise. And let me tell you, she began to prepare for that promise. Once you get pregnant with a promise, you start preparing for it. I mean, I can imagine her feeling the beginning of a baby in her womb, feeling the heartbeat, knowing that something's changed and different. The first thing she's doing is I bet she's eating a whole lot healthier. I bet she's taking better care of herself to make sure that she can do everything to protect this promise that she didn't even know she needed. I can see as she begins to grow and the baby begins to grow in her belly, she's getting new clothes, she's sleeping a little bit more, she's resting a little bit more. She's ready to kick Elisha out of the extra room because now she needs a nursery, right? She's getting a cradle ready for the baby and she is preparing to receive this blessing. Okay? Man, she is preparing to receive this blessing because as soon as she heard the promise, something stirred in her heart and she knew it was for her. So can I just tell you tonight before I move on that there are people in this world just like this Shunammite woman. Man, I was one of them. I got up day after day. I like to think that I was a good person. I was raised in a home that knew of God. If you asked me if I believed in God, I would say, yeah, I believe in God. Right? Absolutely. All my life, I told somebody that the other day. I can't think of a time where I wouldn't have told you that I believed in God. Okay? I got up. I lived my life. I was a good person. I took care of people that had needs around me. And I got stuck in a routine. And I was content. Still doing stuff, still advancing, still keeping busy. But then one day, I heard a word from God. And I found out that there's actually more to this life than waking up, eating, sleeping, working, playing, and going back to sleep. One day I heard a word from God and I found out that there was a promise and a hope for my future. And that promise was in God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That is a son for you and I to have a relationship with. And then I realized that, oh my gosh, my life actually has purpose. I mean, I thought I was content before in my home and with my job and with my things, but now I can find real peace and contentment found that only Jesus Christ can bring. But I didn't know that before. I didn't know that until I heard the promise. And there's so many people walking around this world. Good people. Some of your parents. Some of my parents. Walking around this world, good people. Content with how they're living. Because they've never heard the promise of Jesus Christ. Because they were never told that we're all sinners. And that for us to get to heaven, we need a Savior. And that Jesus Christ is our one and only Savior. I mean, this story of the Shunammite woman is exactly the type in the picture of Jesus Christ. God sent a son for her. God sent a son for you and I. So that we no longer have to live without a future. So that we no longer have to live without hope. So that we no longer have to live discontent. But that we can receive the promise that he has for us. And can I tell you that this promise is for each and every one of us, specifically and individually, because God wants to have a relationship with you. You know, when that woman had her son, she did not talk to it. She did not take care of it, right? When she had that son, she probably talked to it. She sang to it. She fed it. She nurtured it. She cared for it, right? And when we realize, because we've heard the word of God and we know that we need Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Jesus wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to sing to him. He wants us to hold on to him. He wants us to cherish him, just like this woman cherished her only son. But when we hear the words, we've got to be open to receive it. You know, she might have replied, "Nay, please don't lie to me." But man, in her heart, that fire stirred. She received that blessing, something she didn't even know she needed. Something she didn't even know. You know, can I just talk a little bit about Moses? Anybody know who Moses is? Moses is you know, a great man of God. He's the one that gave us the Ten Commandments. He's the one that went to Egypt and did the signs and wonders so that Pharaoh let his people go. Moses parted the Red Sea. But can I tell you, in the book of Exodus, in chapter 2 and verse 21, Moses wasn't living that life. You see, Moses had just freed from Egypt, and he had settled in the land of Midian, and he had married Zipporah, probably brutally just brutal her name. He had married her, Zipporah, and he was a shepherd, not even taking care of his own sheep. He was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 21, it says that Moses was content. He was happy. He was just going to take care of his father-in-law's sheep day after day. I mean, this a man that used to live in Pharaoh's palace. This a man that was next in line to Pharaoh. Now a lowly shepherd in the field doesn't even have sheep that are his own. But he's taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. He's got him a wife. He's got him some kids. And Moses says, I'm content. But God. In chapter 3, Moses is out taking care of his sheep, and he stumbles across the burning bush. And Moses is interested in why this bush is burning, because there's a flame of fire on it, but it's not burning away. And Moses begins to walk over to this bush and check it out. And the angel of the Lord appears to Moses, and he calls him out. And he tells him, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes because you are standing on holy ground. And then he begins to talk to Moses because he got Moses' attention. He said, Moses, Moses, twice, because he wanted to make sure that Moses heard the promise that he was getting ready to tell him. And what was that promise? That promise was, Moses, you're going to go back into Egypt. You're going to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and you're going to lead my people to freedom. But hold on, just a few verses beforehand, Moses was content. He wasn't looking for anything else. He wasn't looking for a word from God. But God had other plans. But God had other plans. He had a purpose for Moses' life that Moses couldn't even grasp, couldn't even comprehend. But because of that purpose and that promise that he gave Moses, millions of Israelites fled Egypt and were able to enter into the promised land. Again, a type and a picture of Christ. I'm getting ready to close tonight if the music team wants to come up. So I don't want you to think that there's anything wrong with being content. Because on Sunday morning in my Sunday school class, we actually talked about the importance of being content. Because Paul teaches us in Philippians in chapter 4 that God will meet all of our needs. And so we should be content because God will meet each and every one of our needs. Okay? So it is important to be content. But what I want you to understand tonight is that true contentment, true peace comes through knowing Jesus Christ. True contentment, true peace only comes through knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Paul says, "For I have learned that so whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Wherein and in things I am instructed to be both full and hungry, both abound and to suffer. Because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So tonight, I want all of you to be able to find a place where you are content. But that place of contentment is found in the Word of God. That place of contentment is found in the promises of God. And just like the Shunammite woman, there are promises out there that God has for each and every one of you that I bet you don't even know He has for you. But if you seek His face, if you seek His word, He'll show you His promises, His will, and His purpose for your life. Tonight, I know that there's some of you in here, you know what? You're in a place where you're not content. I know that there's some of you in here that are carrying burdens probably greater than what I can understand. But I'm here tonight to give you a word from God. And that word is that Jesus Christ loves you and that He wants to have a relationship with you. He is your Lord and Savior. And if you come tonight and you ask Him into your heart, I can promise that a new hope will fill your spirit. I can promise tonight that if you receive the promise of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you will have a future. That you will find contentment, which is peace. You may not have everything you want or need, or think you need, but you'll have peace found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And so tonight I'd ask that you would come up and seek His face in prayer. Help to draw close to Him tonight. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you'd like to receive Him tonight, we would love to come pray with you. If you have a specific need tonight, we would love to come pray with you.